gonna do?
Coming to you live from the stop off between the Bay Area and Tahoe, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now wishing he were somewhere cooler too, here's Nate.
Hey, Merry Christmas, all you happy people.
Hey, we're all here this week.
It's
we
a Christmas
are.
Miracle.
It is. Aww, yay. Christmas time is here.
Hey, happy 12/20 to all of you.
Because
that's when the show comes out.
Ooh, it's sure. just about solstice time then.
It is.
The return
it's
of the light.
Winter.
Ooh. Yeah, 12/20. That's when everyone smokes mistletoe?
I think it is. Or a Christmas ham.
And makes out with pot. I don't know.
Okay. Whatever works. Hey, coming up on this Christmas episode of the Nate Darling Show, this is our last episode together before the big holiday. We're going to talk about Christmas carol grammar, because we've got some grammarians in here.
Yay, finally.
Some not gay apparel. and we've also got probably, it's not small town holiday news, but it is news from my old homeland of Scotland. And Santa Claus.
So Piper down.
We'll get to all of that later on in the show. But want to start out with this was something that I heard about today, and we'll see if we can. There's a new Red Band trailer for 22 Jump Street.
That's a thing.
Oh, what? It is. It's a thing.
Wallpaper has
I didn't see the
music
first one.
In it. The band Wallpaper.
Way to ruin the surprise, Tad.
Well, I hoped never to see you again.
What's up, dog?
We're back. We're ladies, nobody gave a shit about the Jump Street reboot, but you got lucky. So now this department has invested a lot of money to make sure Jump Street keeps going. The only problem is the Koreans bought the church back, so we're moving you across the road to 22 Jump Street.
You two sons of bitches are going to college.
Fuck yeah.
Wallpaper.
Fuck. Bathrooms.
Fuck. I'm not gonna take a shit the entire time we're here.
We'll go around to classes and activities, ask around about the drug, find out who the dealer is.
Do we look older or does everyone in college look like babies?
Shh.
Some of us are trying to study, so can you take it down to a level of shut up?
Is this a level you're looking for?
Shut the fuck up.
You look really old, too. You look old as shit to be here.
Partners for life.
It's just drinking games and bonding. Why is that so painful for you?
No, you cannot hug me right now.
Drunk stagger, drunk swagger. I don't rap you. Yeah! It don't matter.
We Jump Street, and we're about to jump in your ass.
Mm-hmm. Right in the crack.
We need an expert to consult.
Oh! Listen, Mr. Walters, I should apologize
for shooting my penis off.
But don't sweat it.
They gave me a vagina. Hey, guess what? I'm Eric's bitch.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am! You own this ass! Oh, my God.
Hey, Eric.
Oh. So congratulations!
I didn't see the first one.
So congratulations to Wallpaper and our friend Arjun for getting that song into the Red Band trailer for 22 Jump Street.
I don't know who that is. I don't know why we like it.
What?
Somebody tell me. I missed that episode. Sometimes it takes me a long time to catch up.
Oh,
somebody tell me what's going
Arjun's
on.
Arjun's a guy who sometimes is you when you're not here.
Oh,
and he's in a band called
okay,
Wallpaper. He's
yeah,
one of their 27 drummers.
I didn't put that one together.
And the song in the background was his song.
I think that's awesome. I am sorry for offending the sometimes me.
There are many yous. It's
yeah, well, Arjun sat in a few times.
I haven't slept in like 3 days.
Oh.
Yeah.
What have you been... Oh, because of the YMCA.
Yeah, because I had a big thing.
Hey,
and
that's your problem, George Bailey.
A boy?
That's him when he was 12.
Maybe like this movie. Seriously.
Oh, I so love this movie that Ted and I have a date to go see it at the Crest on Friday night because it only comes here every 2 years and I have to go every 2 years and see
adorable.
It.
That's adorable.
At the Crest.
It's a good movie.
You know what I love? I love The Bishop's Wife with Cary Grant.
Oh.
Want to watch that one?
I have that on DVD, and I don't think I've even ever watched it.
Well, I would suggest you add another fun little bit of nostalgic film to your holiday.
I will, absolutely.
You would like it. It's got a very good message.
The Crest does every year, every other year they do Wonderful Life, and then in the years in between they do White Christmas, and I do not love White Christmas.
Really?
It's okay.
I mean, it's kind of
a spectacular thing, but it doesn't have the same message and heart as It's Wonderful Life, I feel like.
Oh my gosh, we're like opposite.
We are opposite. That's why they do every other year. You can go next year.
Okay.
I'll go this year.
Fair.
Yeah, it's going to work out.
Is this like a Beatles-Elvis thing? You can like them both, but you won't have
but
to
not
one,
equally.
Not equally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and in this case, White Christmas is Elvis.
No.
Yes, it is, because the Beatles have depth and heart, and White Christmas is all show. And Elvis is all show. He doesn't write his own music. I love Elvis.
Oh.
I love Elvis. But Elvis is pop, and the Beatles
are
go deeper.
They are, but they go deeper.
This is the
Wonderful Life.
This is the most intense debate you two have had the entire year.
They are pop. Both of these things are pop. They're both movies and both singers are pop. But I definitely Beatles. It's a Wonderful Life is the Beatles of. Well, how is It's a Wonderful Life Elvis? Elvis was not about social justice.
Why are you asking me? I didn't even offer this. This is Ted's fault.
It was Pulp Fiction's fault. Really.
Little musical interlude to our fight over classic movies.
Every time Christiana and Becca debate, an angel gets its wings.
Aw, that's one angel for the year.
Do you realize what's going to happen if we don't find it?
Is this your top Christmas movie?
Oh, I don't even know what my top Christmas movie is. I mean, it's hard to argue with it because it's a classic, but I don't, what is my top Christmas movie?
Uh-oh.
I don't even know.
You just put a Christmas.
I honestly
story.
Don't know.
Muppets Christmas.
Well,
Carol.
A Christmas
Muppets
story
Christmas
is hard to argue with. Yeah. Muppets are hard to argue with, and I have a fondness for. It's not a movie, but the Pee Wee's Playhouse Christmas special from like the 80s is pretty great. I have it on DVD. Yeah. So
that's the monkeys cool. In the Beatles and Elvis world. That's the monkeys, right?
I go Love Actually if we're going with like the new classics.
I've only seen it once, so I need to see
Actually.
It again. Really? Yeah.
That's why people have been talking about Love Actually. It's a Christmas movie. I did not realize it was a Christmas movie.
Yeah. It's all like takes place like the 6 weeks leading up to Christmas.
One of the movies that's a Christmas movie that is often overlooked is the Dennis Leary classic, The Ref.
Oh, that is good. I haven't seen that in a long time, but I think I actually saw it in the theater.
I missed it.
Yeah, it's Dennis Leary plays a burglar who breaks into a house where I believe Kevin Spacey is the husband.
Oh, God, is he?
I believe so.
I really haven't seen that
since
it was in the theater.
That's basically he breaks into a house where the couple is fighting, and he ends up bringing the couple together through breaking and entering.
Nice.
So it makes perfect sense.
Another beloved Christmas thing is, I think, the Saturday Night Live Christmas anthologies that they do.
Oh, always classic.
It keeps getting a little longer, and this year it was 2 hours, and I watched it the other day when I was at my parents doing my holiday cards, and it's still fantastic.
It's still good.
You gotta see Sweaty Balls every single year.
Yeah.
It is Kevin Spacey. It's Dennis Leary, Kevin Spacey, Judy Davis, and a bunch of people you've never heard of before.
All right.
Christine Baranski is in it.
I do love her.
And that's pretty much it for people I recognize. But that's one of those. Oh, and J.K. Simmons is in it because he's in everything.
I think we also need a little shout out to the South Park Christmas special, which has probably single-handedly added the most Christmas songs to my Christmas mix repertoire, I think, of one half-hour special.
Yeah,
because I probably know like all of the songs on there.
I don't know the special well, but I just one of the original South Park ones, which was like the Jesus Santa one, and they gave us Kyle's mom is a big fat bitch. She's the biggest bitch in the whole wide world.
Classic Christmas story,
and also one of my favorite, like
The Lonely Jew.
It's about presents, Kyle.
I guess The Lonely Jew song speaks to me personally.
Yeah, The Lonely Jew song and the dreidel round with the whole family is really, really fantastic.
Yeah, so there's a lot of good holiday fare out there for everybody. One that I personally like a lot, and some people are saying it's a little too much, is Christmas Vacation.
Oh, that's good.
That is fun.
Hey. Oh. It's the scene when Clark gets his Christmas bonus. Oh. He's taking it all in now.
Clark, what's wrong? Honey. It's bigger than you expected? Smaller?
Oh.
What is it?
It's a 1-year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
Oh, good.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
That it is, Edward. That it is indeed.
I'm sorry, Clark.
This isn't the biggest bag over the head punch in the face I ever got. God damn it!
Son.
And then he hits the knob. We've all been there. Not Becca. It's good.
Soy nog is what Becca drinks.
It's good.
It's good. Silk nog.
It's good.
Can you really capture the viscousness?
Viscosity.
No, and that's what makes it awesome.
If any of you are looking for any
all the
last
taste, none of the viscosity.
I have one.
That's part of the magic.
I like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there in Melody Lane with all the other rich people, and I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
Snake-licking? Went low there.
Yay.
Yeah, so they actually had that at they were playing Christmas Vacation at the Century Cinemas this past week. I did not get a chance to do it to go see it, but
you know what always marveled me about that scene is that he wanted to put a pool in with his Christmas bonus.
Sure.
How goddamn big was that? I know it was still the 80s, but how big was that bonus going to be? Because that I have never received a Christmas bonus like that ever.
No.
Like
no.
The one that makes or breaks your Christmas?
There was a year I got a $10 Starbucks card.
Wow.
I've gotten a $10 Pete's card, a bottle of wine, $40 check. I think that's about it. And then just nothing most of the time.
Oh, I guess I was spoiled in the corporate editorial work because I actually got Christmas bonuses back when I had a job. Oh, those are good times.
That's nice. I know. Oh. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess I never really expected them, so any little thing is nice. Yeah. But
I do get a bonus now, but it is, I mean, I could buy some pool toys or a membership, maybe a membership to a pool,
maybe
but like I could not put a pool into my house.
Not even a kiddie pool?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, okay. a really nice quality kiddie pool, yeah. But that's about it.
I've never gotten a
Don't
big
scratch my coat.
Christmas bonus, but half.
Hefner.
Mate.
Oh, jeez.
He's looking for Christmas presents.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Oh. Whoa. Wow, it's like a spray bottle, but it's a box.
Yeah, whenever sometimes you just have to break their concentration.
And sometimes if you're me, you just hold still and hope that Nate has good aim.
Oh, it was an empty box. How badly could it have hurt?
Oh, no.
Challenge accepted. Yeah, I'm
hiding behind my mic screen.
I was telling Christiana before the show. I think one of my largest Christmas bonuses ever was I was working at a store called Burlington Kids. I was working at a kids store, and my boss Alan Levy, who was very Jewish,
so it sounds.
Christmas time for the
gave
Jews.
Christmas bonuses to everybody, including me, who was just I'm just part-time, and I think at the time I was making like $5.50, $5.75 an hour. So a $25 Christmas bonus was really quite something.
Oh, good job.
Yeah, yeah, so
nice.
I found that interesting, and I thought only bigger and better from here, but no.
Well, I think there is that dividing line, like depending on what your job is and what you make, where some of the bonus, like the $10 Starbucks card is almost, I'd rather you just, maybe just a hearty, like, thanks for all your work this year.
It's like
better, or like bring Starbucks in one morning is somehow less of a like, oh, I just remembered when I was getting my coffee this morning that I should probably get you guys a bonus. You know, it's a little weird.
Well, at least it was something.
So, that's something. I mean, where I used to work to the CEO of the company, who was probably in his 80s now, he would actually go like to all the offices around the country and visit everyone and go from desk to desk, giving you a card. And it's really awkward to be standing across from like some like multimillionaire like telling you about your contribution. Like, really?
He probably spent way more on the air travel than on the actual bonus.
Yeah, it was nice. Hey, kudos to him.
Well, if he came private jet, then sure. So let me ask each of you this. Do you have any Christmas or holiday pet peeves and some non-good moments that you've happened to have seen over the course of this Christmas season?
Oh, me.
Yeah, go ahead.
My ongoing Christmas or holiday pet peeve is the interchange of Christmas and holiday, because sometimes like happy holidays I understand, but like when they have a holiday tree lighting at the park, it's not a holiday tree lighting, it's a Christmas tree lighting, and I feel like tiptoeing around the word Christmas just not to offend me is not necessary, because we figure out that you mean Christmas when we get there and we see the holiday tree is really a Christmas tree,
right?
But
Rob,
you know,
Rob points this out everywhere. He's like, Ted wouldn't like that. Ted would not like that. Well, Ted wouldn't like this either. Like, anytime he sees,
I don't hate Christmas, for the record. I think it's
a beautiful
holiday.
No, you don't think you do.
Okay, good. I don't want to be the hater. But yeah, that's it. That's and it was funny. I remember like last year, I went and I bought some Hanukkah gifts, and then I went, like, they had some nonprofit that was wrapping gifts for you. You know, you give them a donation. And it was a Hanukkah gift, and I asked for Hanukkah wrapping paper, and they wrapped it up. And then the lady wraps it up and like gives it to me, looks very intently at me, and says, "Merry Christmas." I was like, "Oh, really?
Jeez.
I don't know.
What was the nonprofit? That's bad
I don't know.
For
some,
them.
What was some like the what is it the
it wasn't
the farm,
my nonprofit, right?
The farming kids.
4-H?
4-H, probably.
4-H. Okay. Or FFA?
One of the, whatever. Cow care.
Cow care
Christians or something. Anyway, that's my one peeve. My one peeve.
Becca, anything sort of strike at you? Anything you happen to might have seen?
I don't have like a current one, but once upon a time, I was the assistant manager of Santa's Village at Sunrise Mall in Citrus Heights.
Wow.
Yes, one season. My job lasted less than 1 month, because that's how long Santa's Village is up. And it was so exhausting and so hard. And I thought that it would be really fun. All I wanted to do was dress like an elf and hand out candy canes. That was pretty much what I wanted. But instead, I was made a manager, like an on-site manager. And that's no good, because that's just like, you are the, you know, you're the focus of people's like Christmas mall rage. And so I don't know that there's a particular pet peeve, except that I guess I would just say, and Christiana, I'm sure you can speak to this, that parents should be realistic about how there's a developmental age when your child is going to be afraid of Santa,
right,
and is not going to take a perfect picture on Santa's lap, the perfect picture that you want to send to your grandparents and your in-laws. It's just not going to happen from maybe ages 2 to 4 or something like that. And just go with it. And if your kid will not stop crying, and if the picture is not coming out, just don't
move on.
It out on the staff. Yeah, just let it go. Like, I know you waited in line. I know you wanted it. I know we don't have the Polaroids. Now we're in digital, and that's not going to fit in your ornament thing that you got for your tree or whatever. But wow, you guys, this was in the 90s, and I still have stress about it. So I guess it's just...
if it was now, that job would have lasted for like 2 months.
Right.
Instead, so
start earlier.
So just be easy on your kids. Be easy on the staff around you. We're all really super stressed. So just everybody give everybody a little bit of a break, and just recognize that sometimes your kid is not going to like Santa, and that's a fact.
And you should
Christmas spirit. Everybody knows that.
And you should embrace the opportunity to have the bad Santa picture, and you can submit it to the Chronicle's Bad Santa, which I still treasure my 2011 Christmas
classic
photo, because I knew she was at the developmental age where she was going to freak out. And I purposely was like, I am getting the shot. We're going. And she did not disappoint. She freaked the fuck out on Santa's lap. And both her complete meltdown face and Santa's like just dead, soulless dead eyes are magical. Something I'll remember.
You should put that on the page.
Oh, yeah. That's your profile photo right now. I saw you put it up a couple days ago, and I was like, oh, the classic shot. Yeah. Like, it's so good. I know. She's just like...
She's better this year, but she... But, yeah, that...
Does she like Santa now? Is she looking forward to see him?
Well, she saw him twice this weekend.
Okay.
Ooh. She saw him on the Santa train up in Jamestown, Rail Town, and chatted with him, and then he was at our Y event yesterday, and... She didn't want to take a picture. She gave him a high five, apparently.
Oh, that's okay. That's fair. And you mentioned Bad Santa.
You're an emotional fucking cripple. Your soul is dog shit. Every single fucking thing about you is ugly.
That's another holiday classic.
I haven't seen that one.
That one is not a favorite of mine.
Oh, remind me before you leave. I have it on DVD.
Okay.
That's one of my favorite movies.
That's the Two Life Crew.
My pet peeve is similar to Ted's pet peeve. In that I get annoyed at advent calendars have become very popular, like, mm-hmm. everywhere, and most of the ones you find at Starbucks or like online tutorials from like home craft bloggers or whatever the numbers go from 1 to 25.
Right.
And an advent calendar, like, advent, it's a religious thing.
Yeah.
You can call it a Christmas countdown calendar if you must. I still think having 25 is inappropriate for that. But if you call it an advent calendar, it should stop at 24.
Yeah.
And it does come from, like, a religious object. It'd be like picking up a 20-sided dreidel. Like,
wow.
It's just silly. That's not the thing. That's not the right thing.
Yeah.
Or like a 10 candle menorah because you just want one.
Right.
Like, it would look cool if I had more candles. So I'm just going to make a 10. I'm going to call it like a holiday candelabra.
Yeah.
Or something. And that's dumb.
And then you can get behind the candelabra.
I want to make a little plug. Someone this year got me it's like a advent calendar sort of app for my laptop, and it has this little like virtual village, and every day something new happens and there's always this little like swirling snow globe on my desktop, and you know, that you can click on it and like go in your village. And even Ted is kind of into it, and every morning we're like, what's gonna happen? Well, I mean, I don't know if you would be into it being like really Christmassy.
No.
I don't
know. What day is the murder?
You know, I actually
murdered.
Imagine watching like, no, Mr. Mayor, no. What are you doing?
Oh, anyway, it's fantastic. And so I recommend the online advent calendars if anybody, it's not even online. It's like downloaded into my computer. Anyway, it's super fun. So next year, get them for everyone you know.
Yeah, my only real pet peeve for the holiday season is that I'm not seeing enough decorations. It's an all or nothing sort of thing for people.
Yeah.
There and as I have nothing up, I guess I can't really complain that loudly.
Yeah, wait a minute.
But I'm going to be gone for Christmas, so I have an excuse.
Fair.
But what I notice is there are so many places with absolutely no decorations, no lights, no nothing. And I know this isn't a super Jewish neighborhood. and then there's like the one or two houses that just go all out crazy. And I would love to see everybody have just a little bit of spirit as opposed to one person feeling the need to make up for everyone else's lack of spirit. And I the thing that reminded me of that was Ted posted a picture from the saddest mall in America.
Oh, that was, yeah.
The Country Club Mall.
Country Club Plaza in Carmichael.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's kind of sad because there are a couple of places there worth going to because there is a sports chalet and there is a shoe store and there is a Macy's.
And a Panda Express.
Sure. But all the places besides the Panda Express and a Ross, too. Yeah. All the places besides that, they've got their own door to the outside. So, like, if I'm going to Sports Chalet, and then this is something that I started when I realized there was absolutely nothing in that mall, I just park near there. I walk into that store.
I kind of laughed.
Hold on there.
Shut up, Megan.
Yeah, I know. We'll get to that in a moment. I like everybody else. You just go to the one store you're going to and you leave. There's no reason to mill about because there's nothing there.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a nice Asian.
It's like Downtown Plaza.
Downtown
Plaza.
There's
barely anything
really
in
bad.
There either.
Hmm.
Although there is a Sacramento Kings store there.
Yay.
Where I bought this Sacramento Represent t-shirt.
I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
That's
represent,
right.
Represent.
So anyway, that's the whole thing. And the other thing is, I wish it were easier to find the classic holiday specials on TV. It doesn't seem like maybe it's because I'm watching everything on a DVR delay, but I used to know when the Peanuts special was coming on. I knew when everything was going on with that. Now I don't feel like I do.
There's so many. I have, like, my sister sent me a link to some website that had a complete, like, everything possibly holiday for all of Christmas, and it's literally like 5 pages front and back.
Aww.
Worth of dates and times and shows and, like, every hour of the day if you have cable. But it takes the specialness out of it. It used to just be like, you know, when is Rudolph on? I can't miss it.
I used to love the specials, the swirling special symbol came out. Like, totally. It's going to be awesome. And even as a Jewish child, I got to watch Christmas specials.
Didn't you say one time your parents woke you up to watch a special
best thing that ever happened to be, like, sent to bed and woken up to get to watch a cartoon. It was like, this is it's a Christmas miracle.
How early did they send you to bed?
I don't know. It was probably the cartoon probably started at 8:30 or 9. Maybe 8:30. I don't know. I was little. I was first or second grade. What time did you guys go to bed when you were little?
Probably around that time.
Like 7:30.
Like 9?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I never went to bed early.
Well, that's because you had to go, like, milk the cows and do all the stuff before you could go to sleep, right?
No, well, that's in the morning.
You do that twice a day. Morning and night. So, yeah, I just never went to bed early. I do have another thing at Christmas that kind of bugs me.
Ooh. An angry atheist with a lawyer is one of the most powerful persons in America.
What?
It's Fox News and their annual War on Christmas.
Atheism's track record makes the Spanish Inquisition seem like Disneyland by comparison.
Wait,
what?
Is this like real audio?
Yes, this is real audio from Sarah Palin.
Oh, Sarah Palin. No wonder it sounded especially hyperbolic and stupid.
Is this their book that's called, like, Christmas Joy or something? And she's talking about angry atheists with lawyers?
It is.
There's nothing more powerful.
Hearing a word you don't want to hear is a big frickin' dill.
Wait, a big dill? What? Huh?
It's a word.
I think that word is God. Dill?
Because hearing a word you don't want to hear is a big frickin' dill.
Dill?
Pickle.
Frickin' dill.
I feel like the atheist and a lawyer, I feel like I need to talk to Keith about having our own podcast.
Oh, well, go ahead.
Nothing more powerful.
There's nothing more powerful.
She told us we can take over the world.
If the world could be described as truly survival of the fittest, why would people collectively be stricken with the spirit of generosity in December?
Marketing, bitch.
Yeah,
marketing.
That's a really dumb statement. That's a really, really dumb statement.
That's building up.
Yeah, well.
Pile of stupidity.
Sadly, there are no Chick-fil-A restaurants in Alaska.
Aww.
What does that have to do with anything?
Because she would support them because they're anti-gay.
You don't have to
be intimidated
by the political correctness police.
Yeah, it's true. You don't.
Because they don't exist.
Yeah, I'm not intimidated.
The war on Christmas is the tip of the spear in a larger battle to secularize our culture and make true religious freedom a thing of America's past.
Did you hear her soundbite about why commercialism is okay at the holidays? Somebody asked her a question like, well, what do you think about all the, you know, Black Friday or how is that? And I don't even want to paraphrase it because I don't want to get it wrong, but it's worth Googling for because it was just so breathtakingly wow.
So it's about Black Friday, she commented?
It was something like that. Like what keyword? Well, how can you...
The baby Jesus wants us to shop.
It was something like, well, if you're just so moved by the spirit of Christmas to, like, shop, and, I mean, what spreads joy? Like, presents, and it's a good thing. Or
something.
Wow. But it was It was just so... She's ballsy.
Yeah.
She's a ballsy dame.
She's sassy. Her book, by the way, called Good Tidings, Great Joy.
Yeah,
angry atheists and lawyers.
Protecting,
that's the subhead.
Protecting the heart of Christmas, and I would imagine that it is available if you'd like to get it on. You could get it on Amazon.
Actually, I don't even want to use Amazon for that.
You could go. You could go to the NateDarlingShow.com.
Buy that astronaut's book instead.
Click the shop Amazon link once you're there, and then shop away. By the way, if you're listening to this on the 20th or the 21st, and you're like, "Oh my God, I have to go to the mall and fight everybody," no, you don't. You can go to Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com, select Christmas presents, select the quick shipping stuff. You pay a little bit extra, but it's worth your sanity. And you'll have your stuff. You can even have it shipped gift wrapped. Gift wrapped.
You should get yourself Prime for Christmas.
You know what? You can do a free 30-day trial, even if you don't intend on keeping it. You can do it. Get the 2-day shipping for your packages, and then cancel it next year.
Yeah, I think at this point you need faster than 2-day just to be sure.
And I'd say you could stream all of your, like, Christmas essential videos, but I learned today on Facebook that you probably can't because Crafty Bastards have taken some of the most beloved Christmas shows that you would get with your streaming package on Amazon and made them unavailable for Christmas.
That is the worst.
Which is Grinchy McGrinchy.
I've watched quite a bit of stuff on the Amazon Prime streaming with my new smart TV. And
did you get your TV through Amazon?
No, I did not.
Oh,
I got
sorry.
It through Costco.
I'm going to go off.
That's fine. But oh, yeah, I was able to watch a couple of different movies this past week that were just on Amazon Prime streaming. And the other thing, it's a great way to rent movies because there's no Blockbuster anymore.
Which is sad.
There's nowhere to go unless you want to stand in line at the Redbox and hope that one
Redbox
DVD.
Redbox ain't got shit.
Yeah, you hope that one DVD is there.
No, it doesn't.
Got shit?
No. Not if you need some like old random stuff. It's not going to have shit.
Oh, I did not. I don't rent movies at all, so I have no idea. So
I miss wandering the aisles of the Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Memories of doing that, right? Am I the only one?
Pretty much. You know what Blockbuster means to me? Having arguments over which movie you're going to rent.
I know, but that's the thing you do. It's like Friday night, you're on a date, you're like, let's watch a movie. And then you have that nice, like, you lap around the new releases. This one, that one, this one, that one, this one, that one.
40-minute fight over which one it's going to be. One person's not happy.
What Blockbuster means to me is walking the movie back, and no matter what kind of calculus I do to figure out when it's due, then finding a late fee the next time I go to buy movies.
Oh, Blockbuster just closed across
from us.
That's why
I got Netflix.
True story.
They closed across from everybody.
They couldn't keep up with
Fun
technology.
Fact, though, you can still get movies from the library. That's why I request a lot of special DVDs nowadays.
That's true.
What, are you a Marxist?
Yeah, we're not plugging the library here. We're plugging Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com.
Yeah, but if Amazon is blocking your Christmas movies, it's worth checking out your library.
You can support municipal services, too. Wow.
But that's not what we're doing right now. We're supporting our services so that we can keep doing podcasts for free for
you
people.
You can access the Sacramento Public Library through NateDarlingShow.com.
All the proceeds go to us. There are none.
To them. So Fox News has their annual War on Christmas. This is a little bit different, though. Is Megyn Kelly educated kids on Santa.
Into this other topic. So in Slate, they have a piece on .com. Santa Claus should not be a white man anymore. And when I saw this headline, I
think Santa should be a transgendered Brazilian woman.
Hear, hear. It's about time.
I don't know.
That sounds awesome.
It sounds very different.
Okay, so let me move on because I want to get to this other topic.
Had
so
to reload
in
it. Sorry.
Slate, they have a piece on .com.
Right, okay.
Santa Claus should not be a white man anymore. And when I saw this headline, I kind of laughed and I said, oh, this is so ridiculous. Yet another person.
For whatever reason, they put up a picture of penguins.
Too soon.
You know?
The cue.
And by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white, but this person is just arguing that maybe we should also have a black Santa. But, you know, Santa is what he is. And just so you know, we're just debating this because someone wrote about it, kids. Okay, I wanted to get that straight. But
all
Jedediah, when I read
Fox
the piece
News.
At 10 p.m.
I sure hope there's no kids watching that.
Okay, ever. 10 p.m., but on the East Coast, it's 7, so they could be if it's after dinner and
no,
dad's
on the
shit.
On the West Coast, it's 7.
Okay, I don't know.
You don't understand how time zones work?
She hasn't slept in 3 days.
I don't know where she's. I don't know what the fuck time she broadcasts this shit.
I just said 10 p.m. Eastern.
Well, you didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, 10 p.m. Eastern, which means it's 7 o'clock.
On the West Coast.
So some West Coast kids could be watching it before they go to bed.
You're here.
I do know how kids work.
You know, she's African American. And she seems to have real pain at having grown up with this image of a white Santa. And she speaks about it kind of honestly, saying, I didn't really understand.
Wait for my favorite part, though.
Why that had to be.
Yeah, she wants Santa to be inclusive, and I had the same reaction. Initially, I was thinking, this is more politically correct nonsense.
Who's
this is hypersensitivity in our culture. And then you read the piece, and you really walk through the steps with her. I think it's a tribute to her writing. And you realize if you were a young kid, and you were African-American, and your Santa Claus was white, it would affect you when you went to school. Maybe you wouldn't feel that you were part of that tradition. Now, she suggests that a penguin should be Santa.
Okay, and that's where she goes off the rails.
Well, I think that's kind of interesting, though, to have an animal, which is something that kids love, sort of brings that cartoonish component into it. And I think that makes all kids kind of feel welcome in the process. So I see where she was going with that.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't make all kids feel.
Hey, I like penguins.
It makes all birds feel welcome.
Aww.
Kids like penguins.
But, you know, flightless birds.
Okay, so I've given, her name is Aisha Harris. I've given her, you know, her due on where she was going with it. But just because it makes you feel uncomfortable doesn't mean it has to change. You know, I mean, Jesus was a white man too, but you know, it's like he was a historical figure. I mean, that's a verifiable fact.
Oh, okay.
As is Santa. I just want the kids watching to know that.
Yes.
But my point is,
why does she keep thinking kids are watching her show?
Because maybe they have to watch it in private.
They could be
fundamentalist school.
So anyway, Santa is white. Just a fact. Jesus also white, verifiable
historical figure. Look it up.
Historical figure.
Because we're all debating that. No, he wasn't real. I wonder if she realizes that people in the Middle East.
And all the reindeer say he's pretty fly for a white guy.
So that all happened, and then everybody from Jon Stewart to other comedians just sort of made fun of Megyn Kelly.
It makes me sad because she made some sound points about like women and like. Motherhood and maternity leave and like she got to go back and do this shit and I'm like, don't damn you.
She did
take back all my praise.
She did one thing you liked and you were on her side and then she ruined
briefly.
It.
She's like your personal Kanye. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you're like, it's really not that bad. And then you're like, oh,
it is that
never
bad.
Mind.
Why? Yeah.
So she came back out on her show and explained the whole thing because...
Santa Claus real, and what does he look like? Hide the kids, Mom and Dad. Spoiler alert.
But they're watching.
Apparently, we ignited quite a controversy the other night in a segment about an essay that argues Santa should no longer be portrayed as a white man.
Essay.
The African-American author of the piece, Aisha Harris, was upset about the commercial depiction of Santa Claus as white and argued that a, quote, fat, old white man who is, quote, melanin deficient made her feel ashamed as a child, thus necessitating an image makeover. And kicking off the lighthearted...
Let me just for a moment go on a bit of an aside. If the image of Santa as a white man, as a young African-American girl made you feel bad, maybe there was a parenting issue. Just throwing it out there.
No, I don't think so.
No. Oh, yeah.
What parenting issue? What's the parenting issue?
The parenting issue that somebody of a different gender of a completely opposite age range made you feel bad because it was that the young African-American girl wasn't going to grow up to be Santa?
I don't... Wait. You just extrapolated a lot of information that I don't think... Did she... I haven't read the source article, but I don't think anything from the information here or the previous video implied that she felt bad because she wasn't going to grow up to be Santa.
No,
that's
she
not the point.
She said she felt bad because... Anyway.
Yeah, she felt bad because the entire like dominant culture's representation is nothing like her, which is alienating.
I don't know that it is. But either way.
You're not a small black girl.
No, I'm not.
You could be, though. You can do whatever you want, Nate.
No, but I anyway, let's move on with Megyn Kelly's explanation.
Way to go, white
segment,
guy.
I offered a tongue-in-cheek message for any kids watching,
saying
that Santa, who I joked is a real person whose race is identifiable,
wait, he's not
is
real?
White, just as Harris claimed in her piece, but that we were debating whether that should somehow change. So in Slate, they have a piece on .com, Santa Claus should not be a white man anymore. And when I saw this headline, I kind of laughed and I said, oh, this is so ridiculous. Yet another person claiming it's racist to have a white Santa, you know? And by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white, but this person is just arguing that maybe we should also have a black Santa. But, you know, Santa is what he is. And just so you know, we're just debating this because someone wrote about it, kids. Okay, I wanted to get that straight. But Jedediah, when I read the piece...
Wait. Jedediah. I did not know that Jedediah was a girl's name.
You know, she's
African American,
and she seems to have real.
Just wanted to ask that question.
You are such a sexist. I'm just kidding. I don't know. It's a non-traditional female name.
It is. I've never heard of
it. I realized that the piece by Harris, which went on to argue that Santa should be a penguin, was also tongue-in-cheek. That's in part why we covered the story in the first place. Humor is a part of what we try to bring to this show, but sometimes that is lost on the humorless. Cue the firestorm of controversy over my declaring Santa's skin color. Many questioning whether I understand that Santa is a mythical figure. Others suggesting I am a racist who is outraged at the idea of a black Santa.
So she turns bitchy is basically how she's defending herself.
I don't know. She does. I was struck by this, her elocution and presentation in this, very Rachel Maddow like.
She's a lawyer. Megyn Kelly's.
I don't know about that, but
Megyn,
she,
no,
but
she
her
is
presentation
a lawyer.
Was very Rachel Maddow like.
She had an atheist. Nothing could stop her.
It's true,
but she won't go there.
It's true. That's kind of how it goes. So she was kidding, by the way. That was how it all came out.
But we don't get it because we're humorless.
Right.
But she's a very funny lady.
She is.
I mean, if you let it play a little longer, I think ultimately she still sort of fails in her defense and failed in the original comment. But she's right that the majority depictions of Santa Claus are of a jolly old bigger white dude. That's which is true. Like if you looked at, you know, most of culture, which is the original author's point, the depiction of Santa Claus is that he's a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
But the correct question for the discussion was whether that needs to be.
Yeah, I don't know. Who cares? Why can't Santa's a magical figure? Why can't Santa be East Indian or Chinese whatever?
Because Megyn Kelly says he can't be.
Oh, okay.
When I spent Christmas in India, I went to midnight mass at the church in the town where I was staying, and they had a huge celebration afterwards in the courtyard, which was fantastic and lasted all night long. It was super fun. But at one point, I had not seen Santa or heard a word of Santa the whole Christmas season. And at one point, someone came out dressed as Santa and gave some presents to the children. And it was an Indian fellow dressed as Santa, and he had this rubber mask of a Santa face that was white, and it was very scary looking. It was just really unsettling because you couldn't really see his eyes, and it was the wrong color for the rest of him. And I was just thinking, if I was a little kid and this was the only Santa I knew, I would be so terrified. Yeah, it was really creepy. So right when you were like, why can't Santa be East Indian? I was like, you know, if you are in the East Indies or India, just put the hat on and the red suit and just go with it and no mask.
Yeah, that's fine. No one. The idea is a spirit of giving and childhood innocence. It doesn't matter what color the person is doing it. It really doesn't. So moving on from there, although Black Jesus on the cross. No, I'm just kidding. I don't care about that either. Because when I was growing up, we had a cross and it had, I swear to God, Jesus was white, except for at night it was sort of a glow in the dark plastic. So at night Jesus glowed in the dark.
Was he green?
Yes.
Oh, alien Jesus.
Martian. I knew it. He came from the heavens.
Right. Was that in your room?
It was radioactive Jesus.
Terrifying.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it was actually. So an Indiana town unveiled a statue to commemorate the widely adored Christmas film, A Christmas Story.
Love it.
Tourism officials in Hammond, Indiana created the bronze statue to illustrate the famous triple dog dare scene from the film. During that, one of the main characters agrees to lick a flagpole and then gets his tongue stuck as a result. Scott Schwartz, the actor who played...
Thick.
He played the role of Bravo. Flick, attended the unveiling. The statue's location is far from a coincidence. A Christmas Story writer, Gene Shepard, wrote a compilation of short stories called In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash, about his time growing up in Hammond. These stories eventually turned into a Christmas movie everyone knows, it says, and loves, but I don't really love it. I think I've had enough of it. With Shepard playing an integral role in its creation, the movie's fictional town of Holman, Indiana, is entirely based on Hammond. The statue was developed by Indiana's South Shore Convention and Visitors Authority in an agreement with Warner Brothers Consumer Products. The group is also gearing up for its annual Christmas Story Comes Home exhibit, which opened on November 9th. So that's a story I've been holding on to for a while for the Christmas show.
That movie, I've only spent really one Christmas away from my family.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in England with Rob. And I was so excited. Like I had my dad specially mail over a copy of A Christmas Story. And we had to like rig the DVD player so it would play, you know, the other region. And I was so excited to show it to Rob and his family. And it does not translate well. It's a very American film. Like I think they liked it okay.
Yeah.
But it's such a home slice of Americana, blah blah blah. And it's just not really international.
Oh.
No, not at all. It's a movie that
I'm a little bit over it too. I don't need to watch it for a while. I like it, but I'm cool. Apparently this year the 24 Hours of is not that, it's Elf.
Oh.
Oh,
I'm kind of over Elf, too. But
I hadn't seen that article that you just shared with us. I hadn't had a chance to look at it in advance. So when you were like, okay, they've made a statue to commemorate A Christmas Story, the image in my head immediately was of the leg lamp, like just a giant leg lamp in the town square that you could like look up the shade. I don't know. They might want to consider that for a second one if this marketing ploy works.
That's a good idea.
You should use a Festivus pole instead of a regular pole.
Or I want the little kid in his snowsuit with his arms in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Down. He lay like a slug. It was his only defense.
We'll have to see how Warner Brothers marketing agrees to all of this.
Yeah.
This is kind of a heartwarming little story that came out a while ago, actually back in October. Port Clinton, Ohio. It sounds like a pretty incredible town. Dennis Coleman, one of its own, is dying of brain cancer, and he may not live long enough to see Christmas this year. So the 13-year-old's hometown agreed to come together to celebrate the holiday season early. The Toledo News Now reports that seriously, everyone in Port Clinton is participating. Christmas lights up everywhere. Walmart donating presents. The family in Devon has a view of the winter wonderland that he can see from his hospital bed, which is positioned near his apartment's bay window. The window looks onto an adjacent park where a star bearing the words "Merry Christmas, Devon" hangs, and where a Christmas tree donated by the mayor has been erected. Hundreds of his neighbors dressed in Christmas colors and gathered across the street to sing carols for him. This is back in October. I'm really glad everyone came out here because Devin's probably sitting in there with a really big smile on his face, happy that everyone came out. That's according to one of his classmates. Devin came home from the hospital late in October. It was escorted by a parade dubbed Operation Bright and Loud, involving neighbors, police, firefighters, and more than 100 vehicles.
Aw, that is nice.
So, yeah.
Good job, city. Town. He did pass away.
You Googled it.
I had to.
That's fair.
It is. It's but very fair.
It was beautiful. I mean, that's beautiful sentiment, and, you know, I'm good for them. Good on them.
Yeah, I mean, it is sad that he passed away, but the bottom line is the thought that went into it in that town to give him that one last Christmas, that experience, that feeling of being loved and appreciated. I mean, that's really the whole idea behind it. And I just thought that was just a really nice story because it's in a time of year when there are nice stories, this one sort of went above and beyond for me a little bit.
Yay.
This one did not. Hallmark regrets nixing gay from Christmas Carol. Yeah. Yeah, so Hallmark every year puts out ornaments, and I know this
because they put them out in, like, August.
Yeah, they do. Well, since the 1800s, the word has sang the holiday lyric, "Don we now our gay apparel," in the song Deck the Halls. Well, Kansas City-based Hallmark changed the words for one of its holiday ornaments. Keepsake artist Matt Johnson designed the ornament, which is a red sweater, to say, "Don we now our fun apparel." The ornament's description on the website says, "When it comes to Christmas sweaters, gaudy can be good."
Can you just see the meeting?
Yeah.
I can just see the meeting taking place.
But that's how it's always been. Yeah, but today...
Herb, you can't say the gay anymore.
We don't want to be political.
It's our same-sex apparel.
So anyway, it's a hideous... I don't know who would buy this ornament, but either way...
Sarah Palin.
It's an awful sweater. The change lyrics brought complaints to Hallmark's Facebook page, like Carl, with a K, who wrote, quote, "Changing the words to Christmas carols? Really? You can be sure that myself and many others won't be buying your cards anymore."
That's a lie.
Oh,
Carl will be back.
Yeah.
It's true. Diane wrote, "If you can't be original, then you are nothing at all."
What? It's like speak out.
Wow.
Was she like, "You plagiarized the other one?" Is that
I have no idea.
It didn't make a lot of sense.
It did not. Hallmark responded to KCTV5's response by saying, "Hallmark created this year's holiday sweater ornament in the spirit of fun. When the lyrics to Deck the Halls were translated from Gaelic and published in English back in the 1800s, the word gay meant festive or merry."
It still does.
True.
I mean, it doesn't unmean that
something
now.
Else now.
But like the rainbow, the gays have taken it over.
Oh, boy.
Does it say that?
No.
Okay. Because it could, unfortunately.
Today, if Hallmark really said that, that would blow my mind.
Today it has multiple... No. Oh, God. Six lawyers read this before it went out.
Yeah, of course.
"Today it has multiple meanings, which we thought we could leave our intent open to misinterpretation. The trend of wearing festively colored Christmas sweaters to parties is all about fun, and this ornament is intended to play into that. So the planning team decided that we meant fun. That's the spirit we intended and the spirit in which we hope the ornament buyers will take it.
Somebody hit me with one of our festive beer bottles. Just do it.
But then they had a change of pace the next day and sent along another statement. We've been surprised at the wide range of reactions expressed about the change of lyrics on the ornament. And we're sorry to have caused so much concern. We never intended to offend or make political statements with our products. And in hindsight, we realize we shouldn't have changed the lyric on the ornament. although the company spokeswoman said production and shipping schedules make it impossible to change the lyrics back this year. So it stays and it remains for sale.
Collector's item.
It is. It's a 1 year collector's item. So get your ugly Don We Now Are Fun Apparel sweater. If they made an actual human size version of that, that would win an ugly sweater contest.
It would.
It would be one of those things that does. I know. Aren't lawyers making everything better, though?
I don't think that. A lawyer didn't say change it from fun to gay. That's,
No.
That's product research focus group people who never actually bothered with anything.
That, as someone who works in marketing, there is nothing I hate more than focus groups and research, because it's filled with people who have nothing better to do than sit into a focus group and do research.
My
opinion's so valuable, you're paying me for it.
I got paid $100 once to go to Toyota to comment on like one of their new car campaigns. I thought that was cool.
Nice.
Was it?
Can't you see an alternative in Alternativeville? There, like we're sitting here talking about, like, so they put this Don We Now Are Gay apparel on a really ugly looking sweater. Don't you think they thought about what that could mean? I mean, man, they don't even think about their being so homophobic. Like, you just should be more careful with song lyrics like that. Like, put it on a holly bough, not on actual clothes.
Yeah. Gay.
Blue. Really, let's go back to our current
gay
time.
Apparel.
So gay. That which means fun. It's a lot of fun.
All right. It's time to play Understand the Grammar in Your Favorite Christmas Carols. We all love grammar.
I do too.
First off, round yon virgin. The round and silent night might call up an imagery of a soft maternal kind, but in the phrase round yon virgin, it simply means around.
Do people not know this one?
That's obvious.
Come on.
Round yon virgin. Not this virgin. That one yonder.
Yon.
Over there.
Yon is the antiquated word for that one or over there. And the meaning of the phrase of the song depends on the line before it. It should be understood in the context, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. In other words, everything is calm and bright around that virgin mother over there and her child.
That seems obvious.
This is a failing of our public education system.
Mm-hmm. Second one, Troll the Ancient Yuletide Carol. Now, trolling...
Oh. That's changing lyrics to...
That's the internet
Don't
age.
Don't We Now Are Fun Apparel. You're trolling...
It might sound like some obnoxious attempt to undermine it, but it's actually a great way to get in the holiday spirit. According to OED, one of the meanings of troll in use in the 16th century was to sing in a full rolling voice, to chant merrily or jovially.
Oh, I want to chant jovially. Oops, phone went boo-boo.
I don't think I knew that right exactly. Like, it makes sense from the context, but I didn't know the specific definition.
I didn't even know that song, I guess, because I don't know the troll.
Well, the problem is...
Did we troll? Did we do it?
I think we did it.
Mm.
Did
don't you
jovial?
Love that from the SNL one where it's Michael Bublé doing, like, the duets one?
And yeah.
Fa-la-la. He does it with Sting. Sting's version of...
Yeah, it's good. It's funny.
That's for Rob.
That's the Brady Bunch version, I guess.
Number three, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. I don't know why this
is
confusing.
Why is that hard to hear?
That's because people mess up
head.
The lay, lie, I guess. But
I don't know. That one doesn't sound hard.
Yeah, laid is the past tense of lay, which should be used here because little Lord Jesus isn't simply reposting or lying, but settling something down, laying, namely his head.
Which you've ever seen an infant.
You lie down, you lay something down.
Mm-hmm. Number
you
four.
You lay a lady. What?
You better watch out. You better not cry. That's right. Santa Claus is coming to town, so you better watch out. Or
I hate that song.
Or is it?
Me too.
You'd better watch out. Many grammar guides advise that the proper form of you'd better... because the construction comes from you had better, and it doesn't make sense without the had. The problem is it doesn't make much sense with the had either. If you want to do a picky word-by-word breakdown...
I do.
Though the had better construction has been part of English for 1,000 years, it came from the distortion of phrases like him were better that he were never born, where were was a subjunctive. It would have been better. And him, or me, you, us, was a dative case. Him were better. Yeah, this is awesome.
I guess
stuff.
I didn't.
No, this is
go
terrible.
There.
Let's move on to the next one.
Soon I'm going to have laid down my sweet head.
With the kid,
into the beer bottle.
With the kids jingle belling and mistletoeing.
Oh, no. This is not, I don't know why
these
we can explain
hard.
This either. That's
yeah.
just, people verb shit in a song to make it work.
There's a lot of verbing going on.
Well, you know like, how people get into grammar and they get very excited about it. This is one
yeah.
of those cases.
But there's poetic license, people.
Mm-hmm.
Poetic
license.
I feel
license. Like there's better examples, though. Now I'm going to have to try and think of them.
And finally on this list, God rest you merry,
comma,
gentlemen. Notice the comma placement. Gentlemen in this phrase
oh.
is not necessarily taken to be merry already.
I did not know
that. It's
this.
Not, hey, you. You merry gentlemen, God rest you. It's, hey, you gentlemen over there, may God rest you merry. In Shakespeare's time, rest you merry was a way to express good wishes to say something like peace and happiness to you.
Ah.
Other versions were rest you fair or rest you happy. It came from a sense of rest, meaning to be at ease.
Rest you poorly, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I feel like that'd be a really good slam.
Which we still use in the phrase rest assured. In
aha.
God rest you merry, you is the object of rest. So when people make the song sound more old-timey by substituting ye for you, they are messing up the original grammar because ye was the subject form.
Ye.
So, yeah, quit fucking with Shakespeare.
God rest you
see, that was actually cool. That was one I didn't know, and
that's
now
legit.
I learned something. The more you know.
The more
do,
you know.
Do, do, do.
Oh,
all right, just because it's our Christmas show doesn't
gentleman.
Mean you're going to get away with no Florida Corner. We have a very special holiday version of Florida Corner.
You know what?
I feel like you should play
I'm sorry.
Malibu-Gimaka.
We have to go back to the fun apparel thing. Fun is not an adjective. There was not many funs at all to substitute gay with fun.
Fun is a noun.
I mean, they just raped the song. I can't say rape, can I?
I'm kind of
you can.
Adjective.
But I shouldn't.
You just did.
Oh,
I think fun might be an adjective now, even though it wasn't in the day of Mike Kaplan's grandma.
Okay.
That's fun.
Inside baseball.
Considering the band, it's also a
fun.
It's also a noun.
Fun was had by all.
Fun is a noun and a thing kind
it's
of
a proper
way.
Noun.
You know what's fun? Woodchuck hard cider.
I can't say this is a really fun beer. Like, that's a really fun color on you.
You can't say it's a fun no. beer. You cannot say it, literally.
Nate, Nate, did you know that Woodchuck hard cider is
you
from Vermont?
Not.
Of course I did.
You did.
And that the one you have there is the winter version.
It's a limited release, it says.
Yeah.
It's delicious. Do woodchucks hibernate in the winter? Or do they make cider?
They do not make cider.
You guys,
aww.
Nate gave me a cider.
But,
it's good.
But woodchuck is also slang for a backwoodsy sort of hillbilly type Vermonter.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
You woodchuck?
Yeah. Yeah. If
whoa.
Go chuck some wood, buddy.
I have relatives that you would describe as woodchucks.
I would not describe.
Were you ever a woodchuck?
No, I was not.
Wow.
Did you ever grow a big Vermont beard?
when I
can you?
I,
please
well,
come back with one.
I'm sort of growing a beard
it
right
you
now.
You are look a little fuzzy.
The only time I've grown a really full beard was when I went to college for the first time, and I was like, I was 18, 19 years old.
Seems like the thing to do.
And it does, and this was before hipster beards.
Sure.
So when you would be able to go to the grocery store and not get carded when the drinking age, that was the whole reason behind it.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Things were a lot less severe back then.
Interesting.
Ted feels the show's gone off the rails, and I feel it's largely my fault. Perhaps we should go back to Florida.
Ted feels we've gone off the rails. No, we're having a gay old time. Let's
wow.
just keep going.
And Ted can't speak for himself. Okay.
Round yon podcast.
Just to give everybody a little bit of insight, we are enjoying some festive Christmas beverages.
Cheers. Let's cheers. Yay.
Cheers again.
Yay.
Hi.
Merry
Christmas.
Everybody has a different one, too.
Yeah. I've got an Anchor Steam, our special ale with a lovely Christmas tree on label.
It's the Anchor Christmas Ale is what you have.
I love ooh. Some steam beer.
Ted, what do you
have? I
have
a Sierra Nevada Celebration Fresh Hop Ale. Hip Hop Hooray! It doesn't say on it, but it should.
And Becca, we already know about your winter special Woodchuck Hard Cider. And I have Abita's Christmas Ale.
Ooh.
And Abita is a brewery in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
They first created Celebration Ale in 1981. Even back then, they called it Celebration Ale, I guess.
Well, it's that time of
wow,
year.
Wow, it's that
I know,
that
but sometimes
name.
There's holiday, there's celebration, there's Christmas. I just, I don't know. Good for them.
See, Ted, my tangent became relevant to the show.
Oh,
we're on the rails.
I didn't mean to make you feel bad. It just...
We're on the Polar Express.
Oh.
Wow, nice. I guess we are.
Well played.
No,
well
hold
played.
On. This is one of my favorite things for the moment.
Oh.
Family Guy on Netflix, uncensored.
Becca's favorite.
Becca.
Fuck, fuck, god damn it, fucking cock, second cock, fuck,
damn it. Oh my god, Peter, are you okay?
No, I am not okay.
What?
So now
we're off the rails.
I don't know why I don't like that.
See, I think beeps are funnier though.
Beep, 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 sometimes they are, but
is it Kimmel that does the unnecessary censoring?
Yes,
pieces?
It's Kimmel that does the unnecessary censoring.
That's funny.
It is, and I will say this: the Osbournes. Remember the reality show, the Osbournes?
Yes.
Yeah.
On MTV, it was all censored. Well, I lived in upstate New York at the time, and I could watch TV in Canada,
Canadian TV,
and they didn't beep.
Just weird for the nice people.
They didn't beep the word fuck. They only beep like words that would be demeaning. They censored things that are demeaning
like
as opposed to other things. Yeah. So,
oh, for fuck's sake.
So, the whole thing with the Osbournes was without the beeps, it wasn't funny.
Oh.
But Family Guy, starting, I believe, in season 9 or 10, I was season 9. On Netflix, it's uncensored, so you will get all of the cursing, which gives it a whole new fresh approach.
Yay, fresh!
And that's just one of my favorite scenes when they put in new stairs in the house and Peter can't navigate them. Anyway,
nothing's fresher than an F bomb.
It was more than just an F bomb.
There's a cocksucker in there, right?
There was a lot of that.
A fun sucker. Sorry. Wait. Ugh, I don't know how to.
Gay sucker. Come on.
PC.
Don't be
my
PC.
Yeah. Don't be PC.
Gay
yeah.
sucker.
It's funny that I didn't think. Is that the one that Alec Baldwin? That's what he got in trouble for saying, right?
Cocksucker. Yes. Well, it was cocksucking faggot is what
oh.
he said.
Oh, that changes everything.
Yeah.
I thought he just got in trouble for saying cocksucker, and I was like, well, now that I sort of take that word apart in my head, I'm like, yeah, I get that, but I did not know that he dropped that particular F word.
Yeah, he did.
So okay,
he says he didn't,
bears.
But he totally did.
Okay.
and so
but
there we go.
He said cocksucker and then he sneezed. Is that his cover for it?
No,
he said he denied saying the F word, but clearly he did. How could he deny it? Never mind. Let's move on.
Now so, who's off the rails,
yeah,
Ted?
Yeah, Ted.
No, I'm on topic. Oh, Becca, you're taking this so personally. my goodness.
Hey, there's a new holiday display in Florida's state capital in Tallahassee. It's a poll celebrating the fake holiday Festivus from the TV show Seinfeld. It is the latest protest exhibit after a nativity scene was set up in the rotunda. The whole thing is just a serious feat of ridiculousness, says Chaz Stevens, who marched into the Capitol building, clutching a case of empty Pabst Blue Ribbon beer cans and a 6-foot pole made of PVC pipe. It's a nod to the unadorned aluminum pole that's part of the secular Festivus holiday invented by George Costanza's dad on Seinfeld. The celebration also includes an airing of grievances during a family meal in which each person describes disappointments experienced over the course of the year. Steven says when he heard about the Capitol nativity scene, it was just too much. So he applied to the state to install his own display, a pole covered in beer cans. This is about separation of church and state, Stephen says. The government shouldn't be in the business of allowing a mixture of church and state. The display is allowed inside Florida's Capitol building because of the state has designated the rotunda as a public forum. Howard Simon of the Florida chapter of the ACLU says the state had no choice. They're not going to be allowed to discriminate. It's going to be a public forum of all forms of speech, expression, and displays. In fact, Florida has a pending application from a group called Satanic Temple.
What do they want to put up?
I don't know.
Just a picture of the governor.
Neutral, everybody. Viewpoint neutral.
Yeah. So anyway, this is what's causing a problem in Florida. You remember that thing where I said, you know, we should all have a little bit of holiday spirit?
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't.
With a vengeance.
maybe we shouldn't. Maybe there is an exception to the rule. Just saying. So yeah, sorry about that. Sorry to bring a little bit of Florida into stuff.
Florida.
You
They're
stink.
All going crazy in Florida.
All right, so now it's time to wrap the show up with 10 highly unusual facts about Christmas. I'll read them for you. It's from a YouTube video. And we'll start with number 10. Over half of American pet owners will buy gifts for their furry friends this Christmas.
That's legit.
Yay. I have not bought any gifts for our cats yet.
They spend an average
cardboard
of
scratchers.
$46.
No, that's too much.
Number 9. There's a town in Indiana called Santa Claus. I think we all knew that.
Yay.
I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
There's a lot of things I don't know.
Based on St. Nick, Santa was once a pale, thin figure.
Still a white dude.
The red-robed, white-beard Santa of today was developed for a Coca-Cola campaign.
Oh.
Yeah, number 7. 2 weeks before Christmas is the most popular time for couples to break up.
Yep.
Wow.
Christmas Day the least. So if you make it there, you're good to go.
That's how you say it on
number
Christmas
6,
shopping. You dip
despite the tale of three wise men, the Bible never actually gives a number. Matthew's gospel refers to merely wise men.
Oh.
Three seems legit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the trifecta.
Washington Irving created the image of Santa's sleigh. His popular story
the
spawned
Santa.
A Christmas revival in America. Number 4, the Puritan pilgrims renounced Christmas, so there's your American traditionalism. From 1659 to 1681, it was actually a crime to celebrate.
Oh my goodness.
Take that, Sarah Palin.
Number 3, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, created in 1939.
Don't care, love him anywhere.
He's not real.
As an advertisement for a department store.
God damn
He's white.
You love marketing. Number 2, the Bible doesn't mention a date for Jesus' birth.
Yeah, I know, and it probably was December. Blah, blah,
many
blah.
Historians believe it was in the spring.
Yeah, or like September
or
whatever.
It was summertime.
Yeah, and number 1, to visit every child on Christmas Eve, Santa would have to travel at least 3,000 times the speed of sound, visiting over 800 homes per second.
That makes it
he
all
totally
suspect.
Does it, though. Does anybody go online on Christmas Eve at NORAD
Santa
Track
Tracker.
Santa? Yeah. I watch it all night, even though I'm an adult with no kids.
How come ACLU hasn't sued that yet? Because NORAD, isn't it like an actual like
it is a government agency.
Website?
Yeah, but Santa is not a religious figure.
He's a mythological figure.
It's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
And I saw something online today. I don't know if it's true, but apparently the whole reason NORAD tracks Santa Claus, it was a Facebook post. I didn't read the whole thing. But apparently the reason that NORAD tracks Santa Claus, there was an accidental publishing by Sears and Roebuck of a phone number that was just a digit off, and people were calling NORAD to find out where Santa was when really they should have been calling Sears to find out where Santa was.
NORAD,
true.
NORAD
heard,
is listed?
That it's
is
true. The, I've heard that before.
It
was a typo.
Snopes it right
awesome.
Now.
I will.
And so they played along, and now it's a tradition. For
yeah,
decades.
They
have
yeah. This,
yeah.
Kept coming back.
Which is so great. And it makes sense that NORAD would track Santa. It's
why
awesome.
Wouldn't they?
I love it.
Yeah, so
I
that's,
feel like that's a happy accident, happy coincidence.
Ah, there you go. Sean Snopes, like you said.
Is it true?
Is it
it's
true?
Loading. You guys have to be patient.
Okay.
Sorry.
I want to believe that it's true.
While you're loading that up, let me remind everybody that the Christmas episode, the Christmas Day episode of the Nate Darling Show is actually going to be available early. We're going to put that up on the 23rd. It's going to be well over an hour of our favorite Christmas songs for you. It'll be some classic songs, some
why
new
isn't
songs.
An episode of my favorite songs in celebration of my birthday.
What's your favorite birthday song?
Bullshit.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. Fine. I like Christmas music too. It's,
it's true is the bottom line, and there's a lot of words to
yay.
Go with it.
Yay.
Oh, nope. So good. That's a fun fact for me. Thank you.
Enjoy that fun fact. Hey, everybody, have yourselves a merry little Christmas. Like I said, the music show will be ready for you on the 23rd, so you can play it before Christmas, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. And be good to each other. Give each other a hug and appreciate those that you have around this Christmas because
they may be dead next year.
It may be your last.
That sounded more. I'm sorry, Nate.
That's true.
That is what the original lyric from that song, BT Dubs.
Yeah. There you go. So anyway, we're going to leave you on this episode with some Billy Squire, one of my favorite Christmas songs. It's Christmas is the time to say I love you.
Aw.
Y'all have a great one, and we'll be talking to you again in a week. Just outside the window, snow's falling. But here beside the fire, we share the glow. The moonlight and brandy, sweet talk and candy, sentiments that everyone should know. Memories of the year that lays behind us. Wishes for the year that's yet to come. And it stands to reason that good friends and season make you feel that life has just begun. Christmas is the time to say I love you. Share the joys of laughter and good cheer. Christmas is the time to say I love you. When I feel it, that lasts all through the year. So spirits go right high and hopes to shine and rise.